Kaya FM 95.9. Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
A very good evening to you. It's just gone a minute after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. This is the home of the Afropolitan, and you are listening to Sidebar, usually with Cindy Fansale, Dr. Cindy Fansale, but today is a bit different. You are joined by myself, Sotumeya, standing in for the good doctor herself, who's still feeling a bit under the weather, but hopefully she'll be back with us next week, all refreshed, feeling much better, and ready to keep you entertained and keep you informed on Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Fansale. So today we are talking about female reproductive health. We are taking your questions. If you've got any questions that you'd like to ask, if you're experiencing something at the moment, you're not sure what it is, should you be consulting a doctor? Should you go see a gynecologist? I'm not sure what it is. This is the best conversation for you to give us a call. The number to dial, as usual, it's 086-000-0959. You can drop us an SMS, 36959, at a cost of 150. But of course, we are joined on the line by a gynecologist, Dr. Meshack Mbokota, who will be taking all your questions on 086-000-0959. So that conversation is going to be happening for the next hour, 7 o'clock up until 8 o'clock.
Because a conversation a day is exactly what the doctor ordered. Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
It is now 3 minutes after 7. You're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Fansale. As I said earlier on, my name is Sotumeya. I'm standing in for Dr. Cindy, and we are talking female reproductive health. And joining us on the line now, we are very lucky to have Dr. Meshack Mbokota, who is a gynecologist and can take all your questions when it comes to female reproductive health, whatever it is that you want to talk about, endometriosis, you want to talk about fibroids, you've got any question to ask, this is the conversation for you. Dr. Meshack, thank you so much for joining us and availing yourself to us.
No, good evening, and thank you for having me, and good evening to the listeners and everybody on Kaya FM.
Yeah, so this is a very big conversation because there is so much when it comes to female reproduction, when it talks to health, gynecological health. It's a huge, huge conversation. There's so many things, or so many places where we can start. But I suppose maybe we can start with the one that, well, for me as a layperson, is probably more common: endometriosis.
Yes, endometriosis, it is common, and it's common because it is now at least diagnosed quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, you know, the stereotypes would, if a black woman had low abdominal pain and painful menses, what people would suspect would be a sexually transmitted infection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at least now that stereotype is moving away to looking at more and more into the reality of endometriosis. And in simple terms, endometriosis is basically when you get the lining of the womb,
mm-hmm.
that instead of that lining shedding off and coming out as menses through the cervix and the vagina,
mm-hmm.
that lining flows backwards into the tubes, and it goes and implants in either the tubes, the ovaries, and anywhere in the abdomen.
So what does that mean, Dr. Meshack? Does that mean then that you have lighter periods but more painful? Because I would imagine if it flows back, the periods are probably lighter. Am I correct?
Yeah, what you are seeing on the outside is lighter, but because the endometrium has been implanted in those various parts of the body, each time you have a period where those little things are growing, they also have a period, so they also bleed.
Oh,
now
my.
You get bleeding into places where it's not supposed to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be into the peritoneum, if it's on the liver, if it's in the lungs, if it's on the tubes, if it's on the ovaries. So, and the most common part, obviously, is the ovaries and the tubes. And then the next logical thing about it is that it then results in severe pain, but also infertility.
Okay. So we're going to talk more about endometriosis, but already the calls are already starting. Dr. Meshack, people wanting to ask questions, you know, about their own specific health. So I'm going to take a few calls, if you don't mind, and listen to all the questions. Busi, thank you so much for joining us. Hi, Busi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a problem with cysts, you know, and fibroids. So I had to remove my my womb at the age of 36.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age of 37, then I started having the cysts and fibroids on my ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor, the gynae suggested that I should remove both ovaries. So I've removed both ovaries. But now I've got a pain still, like the, an lower abdominal pain. So what I wanted to find out is it possible for me to have cysts even though I do not have the uterus and the ovaries?
Okay, let's just see if Dr. Mishik's got any questions for Busi.
No. I've heard the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing is that she said she had fibroids. Now, fibroids are tumors that are benign that grow on the womb. And once you've removed the fibroids and removed the womb, you can't get fibroids on the ovary.
Okay.
You can get other growths on the ovary, but not fibroids.
Okay.
And
so
secondly, she said she struggled with ovarian cysts. There are two types of cysts. They are what we call functional cysts, which are the cysts that you get with every cycle, and a cycle is your 28-day cycle, or for the average 28-day cycle. When you ovulate, where the ovary best open to release the egg, there's a bit of a cyst that remains. It usually disappears after 3 days, but in some people it closes off and starts to enlarge, and that's what we end up talking about, functional cysts. Then you can have cysts in the ovary due to tumors,
mm-hmm.
and the most common cysts in the ovary are due to pelvic infections.
Okay.
And the most common bug there is something called chlamydia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the unfortunate part with chlamydia is that the discharge doesn't smell. The discharge looks like mucus, looks like water. And so the people don't know they have it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it damages the tubes and it causes this little, we call them chlamydial cysts. Now, the one other thing where she says she continuously has pelvic pain is that you mustn't forget that there's also in the pelvis, there's also a bladder. So she must also check, make sure that she's not getting bladder infection. And it's bladder infection is very common in women purely because of their anatomy. Because the anatomy is such that where the urine comes out, that area needs to be without bacteria at all. Then the vagina has bacteria, and the anus has got bacteria, so the bacteria can migrate up. So when people go to the loo, we usually say to ladies, you must wipe
from front to back
and throw away.
Mm.
Don't come back. And drink, and then that's why we need to drink a lot of water. And after intercourse, people must go and pass urine so that whatever was touched at that area gets flushed out with the urine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Busi, I hope you got that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Busi.
Bye.
Thank you. If you're just joining us, it is 10 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. My name is Sotumeya. I'm standing in for Dr. Cindy. And joining me on the line is Dr. Mishik, who is a gynecologist, Dr. Mishik Mbokota. And we are talking about gynecological health when it comes to women. We are talking about female reproductive health. We're talking about anything that's got to do with any problems that you might have as a woman. The likes of endometriosis, whether it's fibroids, whether it's cysts, any question that you would like to ask, or maybe something that you're experiencing at the moment, the number to dial is 086-000-959. I will repeat that, 086-000-959. You're more than welcome to also drop us an SMS, 36959, at a cost of 150, if you would like to ask any questions to Dr. Mishik, who joins us now on the line. Now, Doctor, we were just talking about endometriosis, and I wanted to find out, is it treatable? Is this something that we can treat and be able to move on from it?
Yes, endometriosis is treatable, and the treatment is generally dependent on whether the person is looking to have children at that time or whether they just want to control the pain and have normal menses. Now, when the person wants to control the pain and want to have normal menses and at least try to, for lack of a better word, dry off the endometrial tissue that is in the wrong place, then you can use medical treatment in terms of tablets, and some of them are generally used as contraceptives, where they actually thin out the endometrium. Alternatively, with the surgical method where you, with a laparoscope. A laparoscope is a little telescope that you put through the belly button, and then we're able to look, and we can actually do what we call cauterization, and for lack of a better word, that's to burn those bits and pieces of endometrial tissue in the ovaries, in the tubes, and everywhere else in the abdomen when it's not supposed to be. And once we've burned it off, that on its own actually relieves. Now, there's the theories as to why this thing develops, and people sometimes blame tampons and things like that. The reality of the matter is that they're just theories, but the reality is that when somebody hasn't had children, the cervix or the mouth of the womb is tightly closed. So the womb has to squeeze a bit harder for the menstrual fluid to come out. So sometimes part of that menstrual fluid then flows backwards. That's really one of the what we call the pathophysiology of how it happens.
So that's is why it safe to say, sorry, doctor, to cut you off, but I know I'm going to forget, is it then safe to say that the later you have kids, the more susceptible you are to endometriosis, or is that incorrect?
Not necessarily, because as I said, it depends on how tightly closed your cervix is.
Okay.
So sometimes we can just go and dilate the cervix a little bit. That also relieves, that allows menstrual flow to be better, and also helps to relieve menstrual pain. Because the pain of menstruation, especially for people who haven't had children, is because the womb has to squeeze harder to get the fluid out. That's really in a nutshell.
Okay. We've got some more callers who want to speak to you, doctor. The number to dial, as I said earlier on, 086-000-959. We've got Dr. Mishuk, who's a gynecologist, on the line to ask any questions, well, to answer any questions that you might have, gynecological questions, that is. Zanele giving us a call. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks, and you, Zanele?
I'm fine, thanks for taking my call. I want to ask the doctor, recently I'm having a problem of not having to hold my urine. Thus, after the urine, you will see some, it's like not all of it comes out. So is there a problem with me, and is it something that I can be fixed?
Have you just had a baby?
I've got three babies.
Okay, let's hear what Dr. Mishuk has to say. Dr. Mishuk, I'm sure you heard that.
Yes, I've heard that. I think what she describes is what we call genital stress incontinence. Basically, what tends to happen as people grow and a bit older, and they've had children, especially they've had pregnancies and they've delivered normally, the capacity and the ability of the bladder to hold urine reduces. And when they cough and they laugh, then they have these little accidents where the urine leaks. And sometimes when they are pressed, they really have to run.
Okay.
Now, there are various ways of treating it, but these days we are able, when it's as mild and it starts like that, we're able to sort that out with either laser, with what you call fillers or PRP injections, or alternatively, people will say, but they need to put Kegel balls and try to.
Yes, I've yeah.
The Kegel exercises, yes, they work, but you need to do a lot of them. And by a lot, I mean, remember, the Kegel exercises, they exercise the muscle. And yet, what is loose in the vagina in the vagina and the bladder, because they're just next to each other, it is the soft tissue, it's not the muscle, so it's difficult to exercise it.
Okay.
And that's why these days we either go and inject what we call fillers or plated rich plasma, or we use laser to assist in that way. For those who, so majority of people who've had children, one, two or three children who've gone into labor, they've been pregnant before, they at some point when they laugh or they cough, Some accident happened, the urine leaks, so they have to have a liner every time when they dress up. So it's something very common on the other side of 40.
Okay, so this is something that you can expect, but the good news is it's something that can be treated. It's not permanent.
Yeah, it's not permanent. It can be treated, and as I said, with advances in technology, the treatment is even much easier.
Okay. We've already lost Zanella. I think there was something wrong with the line there. But if you're just joining us, it is 16 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Sale. My name is Sotome. I'm standing in for Dr. Cindy Van Sale. And, of course, I'm joined on the line by a gynecologist, Dr. Mishik. And we are talking about reproductive health. We're talking about all sorts of questions that you might have as a woman or as a person who probably lives with a woman. If you've got a sister, you've got a mother, you've got a wife, and there's something that, you know, both of you are going through in terms of her reproductive health and you'd like to ask some questions, the number to dial is 086-00-00959. You're more than welcome as well to drop us an SMS 36959. So we were just talking about endometriosis, and I suppose, you know, we have a basic, well, at least I feel like I have a basic understanding now of endometriosis. But another big thing that as well, you know, as you grow older and you start finding out all sorts of things in terms of gynecology, one of the other big things is PCOS. What is that?
You're referring to PICA.
Is it PICA, not PCOS?
All right. PCOS, it's PCOS.
Yes.
Yeah. We call that polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an acronym for polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, polycystic ovarian syndrome, a syndrome is a collection of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So usually it's something where you find that a lady has got multiple cysts on the ovary.
Mm.
Sometimes when we do an ultrasound, the cysts are lined up along the ovary like a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are these multiple cysts, she has irregular periods, or they have long periods of amenorrhea where they don't see their periods.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tend to have oily skin with a lot of acne.
Mm-hmm.
And they fall into this group of conditions that we call metabolic syndrome or syndrome X.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously linked to that, that there's infertility.
Mm.
They're a bit hirsute. They've got slightly, their hair distribution is slightly more male than female.
So they would have a moustache?
Because their testosterone levels are a bit higher.
Oh.
They may have a moustache, but usually the hair distribution, the female hair distribution, especially in, lower down, it doesn't go up to the belly button.
Oh.
It stays below. So once it starts going up to the belly button and forming the triangle that go up to the belly button, then you know that the testosterone levels are slightly higher.
Is a little bit high. Okay, Dr. Mishik, I don't want to cut you off, but you've got so many people waiting to speak to you. I feel like I shouldn't be selfish. So I'm going to take the calls and let them ask you questions. Agnes, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us. Hi, Agnes. Agnes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, and you?
I'm good, thank you. You've got a question for Dr. Mishik?
Yes, I do.
Mm.
So, 2017, I was diagnosed with endometriosis.
Mm.
And I did a surgery for it. Then 2019, I started using the injection for a month. But since then, my period haven't come back, and I have horrible period pains every month. But nothing comes out. So I just wanted to know, is it possible that the endometriosis have returned or something? Because I don't understand why.
Okay. Dr. Mishik, I'm sure you got that.
Yes, I just wanted to find out. I guess she's off the line.
No, she's not off the line. You can ask, doctor.
Which injection was she using? Was it the 2 month injection or 3 month injection?
Okay. Agnes?
3 month injection.
Sorry, say that again?
3 month injection.
3 month injection. So she was using the 3 months.
Okay. Mm. All right. So what it means is that she was put on what we call a progestin-only injection. It's called Depo, as either as a contraceptive or as both a contraceptive and as trying to treat the endometriosis. Now, what the injection does is that it thins out the lining of the womb, the endometrium.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is thinned out, and that's why she's not seeing her periods, then they go into a period of amenorrhea. But remember, the cycle doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So the womb will still contract at the time when it's supposed to contract, thinking that it's expanding menstrual fluid to come out. So that's why she still experiences menstrual pain. Now, the one way of dealing with that is, the only way of dealing with menstrual pain and the most effective way of dealing with menstrual pain is actually what you call combined contraceptives. So a contraceptive, which is a combination of estrogen and progesterone, either in a form of a tablet or these days in a form of a patch. Mm-hmm. In that way, because that mimics the cycle, it stops the ovulation, and then that reduces a menstrual pain for either a person with endometriosis or a person without endometriosis.
Okay, so it's not so much that it's back, or maybe it could possibly that it's that contraction that happens when it's meant to happen.
Yes.
Okay, Agnes, did you get that?
Yes, I do. But what I wanted to know, will my brother return? Well, it's been almost a year and they haven't returned yet.
Okay, doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, the challenge with that injection that you are using, and I've been very... for lack of a better word, it's an injection that I don't prescribe to anyone because some of the countries that manufacture it don't use it.
Wow.
Even though it doesn't make you infertile, you can't predict how long you take to return to fertility.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be 6 months, it can be a year. In some people, it can be 2 years.
Oh, my.
So that's the problem with that injection. So it's one of the side effects of it, and not everybody gets the same side effect. Some other people, when they're using that very injection, they just have periods which they can't control.
And then you get others that don't see their periods for a long time.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Agnes, I hope that helps.
It did. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Like I said, the number to dial, 086-000-0959. We've got Dr. Mishik Mbokota, who's a gynecologist, joining us on the line to answer all your questions. We've got another caller, Busisiwe. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. How are you, ma'am?
We're good, thanks, and you, Busisiwe?
I'm good. How are you, doctor?
Oh, wait a second. Let me put him back. Doctor, how are you?
I'm good, ma'am. How are you?
I have a problem. I went to my doctor, I think there was last year, March, and she said, okay, I'm in my late 40s now. So she gave me some pills, Angelique. She said she wants to balance my hormones so that I don't suffer the hot flashes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When you menopause.
Mm.
So last year, she gave me around about March, and some in between, I became very sick and. I was feeling dizzy, vomiting, and all the things. So they said, no, I've got iron deficiency. And then, but now these pills, what they do is I go on my period for a very long time. I can go on for a month. And from day one until the end, I'm suffering from period pain. And under normal circumstances, I don't have period pain.
Okay. And is it heavy?
So now she took back again. Okay, I stopped them last year. And then... 3 weeks back, I went back to her, and the same thing now is happening again to me.
Okay, and is it heavy bleeding, Busisiwe?
Yes, it's really heavy.
Okay, Dr. Mishik?
Okay. Yeah, I think there are probably two or three things there. One of the things that you need to be careful of is that before you diagnose yourself or before you are diagnosed as somebody in the perimenopause or in menopause, just do a hormonal test and see if your hormones are at the levels of being menopausal or perimenopausal. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. Secondly, is that again around that age, most women have had a tubal ligation or a sterilization,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they're more likely to have heavy periods regardless of whether they're using any contraceptive or not. And thirdly, around that time again, a number of women have got a condition that we call adenomyosis. Now, if you remember, endometriosis, we said, is the lining of the womb going to the tubes and the ovaries. And then now,
and
adenomyosis.
Back, yeah.
Yes. Now, adenomyosis is the same lining of the womb, but now it goes into the muscle of the womb. And it goes into the muscle of the womb. What it then does is that when you have your periods, they become heavy and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Angelique is a trade name for a hormone replacement therapy, which is used for people who are either in what we call the climacteric, the perimenopause, or menopause. it's a combined pill, and therefore it's cyclical, so it will work like as if you are taking a, for lack of a better word, an oral contraceptive. Now, it will control the hormones, but it will not change if you've got adenomyosis, and it will not change if you've got pelvic congestion from a tubal ligation. So those are the things that she needs to be looked at, and that's the combination that she needs to be looking at to see if the uterus not bulky, because it doesn't get big, it just get a bit bulky, slightly bulky, and the easiest way to see it is when you do what you call Doppler on it and see how much blood flow is inside the uterus. So the other thing with hormone supplements, obviously, is that each and every person responds differently to the same treatment. And therefore, the much better thing to do is that if you're not tolerating a particular hormone supplement or hormone replacement therapy, rather change and try another one until we get the one that is suitable for you, which would be the one that you'd use on a chronic basis.
Okay, Busisi, where did you get that? Oh, Shabbat, sorry. Busisiwe, where did you get that? Hi, Busisiwe.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us, Busisiwe. If you're just joining us, it's now 27 minutes after 7. You're listening to the Home of the Afropolitan. We're talking to Dr. Meshack Mbokota. We're talking about gynecological issues. Enhle, you've been holding on for so long. I'm just going to take a short break and then I come back with you, Lindiwe, as well. Thank you so much for holding on, guys. We're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we continue this conversation right here on Kaya FM 95.9. If you're just joining us, it is 7:30. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. We are having a chat with Dr. Meshack Mbokota, who's a gynecologist, joining us on the line. And we are taking your calls on 086-000-959. If you've got any questions that you'd like to ask that are gynecological, if you have a sister, you have a wife, you are the person that might be going through something at the moment that's gynecological and you'd like to get some advice, the number to dial is 086-000-959. Enhle, thank you so much for holding on. Enhle?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm good, thank you.
Good, you're speaking to Sandra.
Oh, Sandra. Hi, Sandra, yes.
Yes, yes, I've got a question for the doc. I'm 36 years old, and I have heavy bleeding when I go on my periods, and I also have a recurring infection. Like every month after, soon after my period, I get an infection. And then also I have a terrible back pain, like on the abdominal, like on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then also some sharp pains on the right side, on the bottom here, just below the belly button. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering, could it be something serious or I don't know.
Okay. Dr. Meshack?
Yeah, just.
Oh, sorry, doctor. We lost you there for a second. Please start again. Yes.
Just to ask one or two questions. Mm. How many children does she have?
Enhle, how many kids?
I don't have any kids yet.
Okay, and how old are you, you said?
36.
36, okay, she 36. Doesn't have kids yet, yeah.
And then the kind of infection you are talking about, is it a discharge that is thick, cream white and itchy, or what kind of infection is it?
Yes, it's a thick, cream white infection.
And it's itchy?
No, it's a bit smelly. Okay. It's smelly.
Okay. Doctor?
Okay. All right. Look, the key thing for me with her, she's 36, she has got no children, she's got heavy period. The first thing that I must look for is whether she's got fibroids or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. And with that then would explain the heaviness that she feels, the bit of the backache, because sometimes when the uterus is full of fibroids, it does what we call a retrovert, meaning that it falls backwards,
mm-hmm.
and then that puts pressure on the back. So they get a bit of a pull type of backache towards the end of the day. And so that's the one thing that she needs to be on the lookout for. The infection is one of two things. Either she's got thrush, mm-hmm. but since well, she says it's not that itchy, she may also be having a condition that we call a bacterial vaginosis,
uh-huh.
which occurs when there's a change in the environment within the vagina, whereby the normal bacteria are disturbed and the abnormal bacteria basically take over and they produce a particular smell. It smells like fish,
mm-hmm.
and that that smell is basically felt by the person. Now, if you take antibiotics without probiotics, that infection just keeps on coming back over and over again. And then people sometimes tend to go and buy these fancy things that they say they use to clean their private parts.
Yoni, what?
Yeah, you name them.
Yeah.
And look, I always say, you know, God is a fair person.
Mm.
He has provided free water for us, and He has made every vagina to cleanse itself. All you need is the water to rinse it. You don't need any fancy soaps or any fancy creams to apply or any fancy douches to use to keep your vagina clean.
Okay. We've already lost Sandra, so we're going to take other calls, but I'm hoping she was listening on the radio. We've got more callers. Lindiwe, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hello.
Hi, Lindiwe. How are you?
Yes, I'm okay. Thank you.
Mm.
Yeah. The question I have for doctor, I'm 50 years old this year.
Mm.
I'm using Dettol Provera. It's been a while. It's been some years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to understand the side effect of it. Is the side effect, is it only when one doesn't see a period even after stopping it for some time?
Mm-hmm.
But the only side effect, I just need to note that because of with me, I'm not planning to have
any more kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if it's the only side effect, then I'm okay with it. I've heard doctors say that it's not used where in
it's
the country
produced,
where it
yeah.
is. Produce. So I was just concerned about that.
Okay.
And then the second question is with regard to my sister. She's 53 years old. She's still menstruating, and then she's experiencing a heavy pain, like she's giving birth.
Oh, wow.
The pain will go on and on until a large blood clot comes out, and it becomes better.
No. Okay.
She's experiencing that every month.
Okay, can you stay on the line, Lindwe, for Dr. Mishik? Dr. Mishik, I'm sure you heard that.
Yes, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with her sister. At 53, still seeing her periods, and the fact that the periods are painful suggests that she may be having what we call endometrial polyps, which is a little polyps or little round pieces of flesh in the endometrium, and then as they get to the mouth of the womb tries to squeeze them out, and it's like literally labor.
Mm.
And once they've gone past the womb, and then that's why she says the clot comes out, and then suddenly, so she probably has a lot of them inside the lining of the womb. She needs to be assessed, because at her age, you don't want to have to be having periods, and you don't want to be having polyps, because that could be a risk factor for what we call endometrial cancer.
Okay.
So she needs to have that checked, so that they take a sample of the lining of the endometrium, send it to the lab, and analyze it just to make sure that there's no other funny abnormality developing in there. It may just be the polyps, but we always worry after 51 when the periods are still there. We generally worry about endometrial malignancies.
Okay, and then the depo?
Yeah, right. Now coming to her, I said I don't use the depo because the countries that make it generally don't use it on their own people.
Mm.
And I'm going to ask you a simple question as to whether doesn't she have any other form of contraception that she can use other than Depo? Now, the Depo, except for causing a thinning of the endometrium, whereby you either don't see your periods or the periods become heavy, at her age, it may also limit her ability to absorb calcium.
Uh-huh.
And that means that her bones become a bit brittle, so she can get what we call osteoporosis.
Mm.
And that will also result in joint pain. So. But other than that, there is nothing else. The only challenge with that injection is for people in the childbearing age who want to use it now, have a baby in 2 years' time, and they struggle to go back to fertility.
All right. Lindiwe, I'm sure you got that, and maybe you can use a different contraceptive.
Oh, the only problem is the my body cannot absorb calcium.
Yeah, which is a problem. You know, as you grow older, you've got to be able to absorb the calcium because you need it. So maybe you need to look at other options, and see. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Lindiwe.
Thank you.
So the calls are still coming in. The number to dial is 086-000-959. We're still joined on the line by Dr. Meshack Mbokota, a gynecologist, taking your questions. We've got Patience now giving us a call. Patience, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you. I had a question for the doctor. So I think since I was a teenager, my period pains have always been very painful. Mm. And I was only diagnosed with endometriosis in my 30s when I was trying to conceive.
Mm.
And at that time, I then had a laparoscopy, and they found that, you know, my ovaries were almost, you know, attached to my uterus, I think they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a couple of operations, laparoscopic again, to try and detach them and to just clear all the, you know, all the bits that were there. But I think I had about 3 laparoscopies, and but since then my periods, you know, take, you know, almost up to 10 days, nothing heavy. So the first few days are quite normal,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I keep getting so towards, you know, day 5, 6, 7, 8, I get, you know, like old blood, like brown clots mm-hmm. coming out, and that goes on for, you know, up to, you know, 12 days. So my period is almost like 12 days now while that's happening. So I'm wondering if it's, you know, if it was something that happened with the laparoscopy, if it's something that I need to go and get checked out again,
mm-hmm.
or worried about, or, you know.
Okay. Dr. Meshack?
Yes. I think what she's just described is an evolution of endometriosis over a period of time.
Mm.
And it can be devastating for a lot of people. And just to put into context, a normal cycle should be between 3 days to 7 days. The minute it goes beyond that, it's abnormal. And so, and what we also need to be aware, what she says, that she sees some brown slough coming out. Now, that brown slough, it's blood that was, menstrual fluid that was released a few days ago, and then it stayed up in the vagina, and then it has changed color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now coming out as the old blood, for lack of a better word. Now, what she didn't tell us is whether she has been able to fall pregnant, or whether she's planning to fall pregnant.
Let's ask her, doctor, to have kids. Patience, I'm sure you heard that.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to be pregnant, but having had a child, no. So, no, that never worked out. What was the other question?
Doctor was asking if you're planning on having kids. Are you having kids? You know, are you struggling with having kids?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still struggling to have kids. So I never did conceive. I'm 40 now. I don't know if I'm going to keep trying, to be honest.
Okay.
But yeah, I just wanted to see if there are any options for what I can do regarding this.
Okay. Doctor?
Okay. Okay. No, it's fine. The options are quite simple. If she's not planning to have children, the easiest thing for her is to use a combined contraceptive, which could be either a pill or a patch.
Mm-hmm.
Then that regulates, that brings your periods to 5 to 7 days. You no longer have this 12-day cycle. If she's planning to fall pregnant, then it's time to go and visit either her gynecologist or a fertility specialist to try and help her to get pregnant quicker, either through ovulation induction or some form of assisted reproduction, so that she can have her children quicker. She's already 40, so her time is getting a bit short.
Okay, thank you so much. Patience, I hope you got them. I hope you got the help that you need.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. If you're just joining us, it is almost 7:45. You're listening to the home of the Afropolitan. You're listening to Sidebar. My name is Sutu Meyer, standing in for Dr. Cindy Francaile. And of course, the other person that you've been hearing on the other end is Dr. Meshack, who is a gynecologist, and he's taking all your calls about your gynecological questions that you'd like to ask. And the number to dial is 086-000-959. Irene, I see your call, and an anonymous caller as well. I'm just going to take a short break. When we come back, we carry on with those calls.
Sidebar with Dr. Cindy on Kaya FM 95.9.
But we carry on with our conversation with Dr. Mishik. I'm going to try to fly through the calls because we literally have 15 minutes left and you guys are only calling now. I don't know why you are so last minute. So we're going to try to fly through the call so we can accommodate everyone. Irene, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks, and you?
Thank you for taking my call. I've got a question for Dr. But first, I would like to say an appreciation message. I've been a patient for Dr. Mboko from, I think, 2016. Every time we went to him with a female problem or any questions, we always had a solution in answers. 2018, I was pregnant with my daughter. You know, I had the most easiest pregnancy because he was always there to support me. Whenever you had problems and you asked your question, you always had answers. I had the best delivery ever, you know. Yeah. You promised that you'll not have an episode, and I never had that.
Irene, the line is so bad, but I get the gist of what you're saying, you know. What an amazing doctor you have.
So, at the moment, I actually did a phone and said,
oh, Irene, we can barely hear you. I'm going to send you back to our producer and see if maybe Ernie can work his message, his magic, and try to make the line a bit better because we can barely hear. In the meantime, I'm going to move on to somebody who would like to remain anonymous. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yes, so I had a surgical termination last year. And since then, my period cycle has been, like, way, way off. I've got abnormal period pains, which I never used to suffer from. So in the past, I'd have my period normal, and I'd go through my period without having to go through period pains.
Mm-hmm.
And then after some time, after that termination, the periods got bad. And even when I'm not on my periods, I feel like my womb is pulling. Mm. So it feels like, yeah, it's pulling very hard and painfully so. And I'm starting to worry that, like, even still have kids after this, or is it like permanent damage? Because it was from a doctor who is a professional gynae. And yeah, so I'm just a bit worried about the pains, and my periods are longer and more heavy.
And how old are you, Anonymous?
31.
Okay, let's hear from Dr. Mishik. Doctor?
Yes, just a quick question as to how far pregnant she was when the surgical termination was done.
It was 4 weeks.
Yeah. So it was still quite early.
Okay, so still quite early. Look, if it was that early and it was done by a professional, and I assume that then they used a manual vacuum aspiration to do the termination, then the only other thing that she could worry about, other than anything, if, and that's a big if, maybe infection may have set in. But if she has not had discharges or anything like that, then it's unlikely to have happened. So whatever she may be feeling now in terms of the periods being heavy, the periods being a bit painful, it may just be because she's going on to the other side of 30, then she's developing a bit of pelvic congestion. And what I always say to people who've gone through this process is that sometimes it is the mental worry about and the mental subtle guilt of having done the procedure as to whether I will ever be able to fall pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And that's more the biggest problem than the actual physical issues within the uterus.
So it becomes more psychological. Anonymous, I'm sure you got that.
Yes, I did. So just to then further ask, does it mean that the pulling, is it something that normal? Like, so basically, internally, it feels like it's like a sharp pain that it feels like it's pulling down. So while they're cleaning, they're vacuuming, it feels like that pain of when the vacuum...
when it was actually happening,
procedure. Yes, I don't know if that's normal or is it side effect of the termination, or how does it work?
Okay, doctor?
No, as I said, when the uterus goes to try to expel menstrual fluid, it contracts. And those contractions are like cramps. It's like when you're having tummy cramps. So they squeeze and pull. Now, she just explained something now to say it feels like the suction that was being used.
Mm.
Now, and that goes back to what I said earlier on, that sometimes these things become more in, we call it somatization, whereby something has happened and it bugs you, and then it becomes real as if it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she needs to be worried more about it. Maybe what she needs more, it's post counseling. She should go and have counseling after that to deal with the effects of that. But sometimes the decisions are made quicker, the termination is done quicker, and then the thinking happens
after that.
After the effect. And so the bit of counseling post is much more important than even the counseling
procedure. Okay, Anonymous, I hope you got that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for your call. Puleng, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
Hi, Puleng, how are you?
Hi, so I'm good, and you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, hi, Dr. Meshak. Mine is very, very simple. I'm having a problem with a very bad smelling urine.
Mm.
You know, I can drink lots of water the whole day, it clears up. But, you know, in the middle of the night, when I go to make a pee, now this whole thing comes back again. Like, I don't know. It's like I ate something during the night that's going to make my urine smell very, very bad.
Okay.
I don't know. But I do drink lots of water. I drink lots of water, but this thing happens to me. Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Meshak?
Yes, just to is she still on the line?
Yes, she's still on the line, Puleng.
Yeah.
You're here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If she says she drinks a lot of water, how much water? And secondly, is the urine just a bit smelly or does it burn?
Okay, Puleng?
It's very bad, Dr. Meshak. Like, I have to, you know, some other people, they don't flush after this. They make a pee, but I have to make sure that I flush because the smell is very, very bad. It's horrendous.
And does it sting? Like, is there a bit of a sting?
No.
And how many cups or how many glasses of water do you have?
I can have maybe like normal coffee cups, like maybe 4 or 5 at work.
Okay.
And in the morning before I go to work, and also when I'm home.
So about 7
I
cups.
I have two maybe when I'm home. Yeah.
Okay, doctor.
Okay. Now, when we say people must drink enough water, we basically mean 2 liters of real water per day.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, it helps the kidneys to dilute whatever is in the urine, so that the acid that's in the urine and whatever breakdown product, especially the urea that's in the urine, is diluted. And then the smell and the stinging doesn't come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people like her, if she takes slightly more, goes to 2 to 2.5 liters, she's better off. And then you can tell that probably she sweats quite a lot. And that's why the urine concentrates in that manner. And that also then leads to this urine being dark and then with this urea smell. The fact that it's not stinging and it's not burning, it's a good sign because it means it's not a bladder infection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a kidney infection. All that we need is to dilute the urine as much as possible by drinking a lot of water. And in any way, the water, as I said earlier on, can never be bad for anyone. The body can only take as much as it wants, but the body, when it needs water, it needs a lot of it.
Okay, Puleng, you got that, Annie?
Okay, I've got that, doctor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We're going to try to just swing through these calls. We've got another anonymous caller. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, I hope you guys are good.
We're good. I just
had a query. So I was diagnosed with endometriosis stage 4 when I was 18, which was a couple of years ago. I'm 22 now. I'm on this medication that my doctor put me on about 4 months ago. And since then, I have not had my period at all. And I'm just worried because it kind of feels like, you know, because I'm not ovulating at all, you know, is that going to hinder the fertility process? Mm-hmm. Should I decide to have kids in like 3 years?
Okay, Dr. Meshak?
What's the medication that she's on?
What's your medication, Anonymous?
It's Vasan.
Sorry, say that again?
Vasan.
Okay, I didn't get that, doctor, but I'm sure you're familiar with it, yeah?
Yeah, no, it's Vasan, not Svan. Mm. Yeah, it is one of the, it's specifically developed and created to treat endometriosis.
Mm.
It's like a contraceptive, a combined oral contraceptive. All combined oral contraceptives, they stop you from ovulating.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stop using them, you go back to ovulating again. So you mustn't worry about the fact that it stops you from ovulating. What it also does is that because it thins out the lining of your womb, so that's why you're not seeing any periods at the moment. But once you stop it, your ovulation returns and your cycle goes back to normal.
All right. You got that anonymous, isn't it?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take Nganyezi and then Irene again. And that's it for the evening. Nganyezi, quickly, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for holding. Shame you came on, you were off, then you were on again. Thank you for your patience.
Yay. It's a pleasure. Just a quick one for the doctor. Last year in March, I had a laparotomy done because the doctor said that I have endometriosis. So I haven't seen my period since. I went for 2 shots of Zoladex. So I just wanted to find out what could be the reason that I'm not seeing my period, and with regards to infertility as well, because I am 65 years old now and I still have no kids, and they said I have primary infertility. So what is it that can be done to treat the infertility and also my periods?
Okay, doctor.
Okay. Zoladex, it's a pellet, it's an injection that we use to treat either endometriosis or to shrink fibroids. What it does is that it induces a state of menopause in your body, so it blocks off your hormones. So that's the reason why you're not seeing your periods. You're actually probably experiencing some hot flashes and as if you're somebody in the menopause. The objective of it is just to shrink the endometrial tissue wherever it is, because they said you've got a bit of a higher stage of endometriosis. And then once its effect is gone, because its effect is about 3 to 6 months, and then once its effect is gone, your body will start producing its own hormones and you'll go back to your own cycle. But then they will have to go back and see if the tubes are patent or whether you need assisted reproduction to fall pregnant.
Okay, Nganyezi, you got that?
I did get that, but like I said, it's been a year that I haven't seen my period. So should I go back to the doctor?
Doctor?
Yes, you should go back. When was your last Zoladex?
It was in July.
In July last year. Yeah, you can go back, but I think, because as I said, we usually give it 6 months to work, and then after 6 months, things start returning to normal. But you can go back and check, and then, but I think probably within a month or two, your periods will start coming back.
All right. Nganyezi, you got that, Anne?
No, I got that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Our final caller for the evening, Irene, another one that's been so patient. You literally have like a minute, but thank you for coming back. Yes.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, doctor, because the time we were doing the pregnancy scan, 2017, 2018, we discovered that I've got a fibroid. So I want to know, from last year, late last year, like when during intercourse, there are some times where I experience this excruciating pain. It's like as if my uterus is being ripped off. I don't know whether it's still that fibroid or what.
Okay. Dr. Mishik?
Yes. No, I got that. It's possible that what she's now got, because the fibroid was in the posterior aspect of the uterus, so she's developed, it has weighed heavy on the uterus, and she's developed what we call retroversion. Now, which means that the roof of the uterus has fallen onto what we call the pouch of Douglas. And so during intercourse, what was supposed to be an empty space, there's a uterus, and then that gets pushed up and down, and that creates a lot of pain.
And how do you deal with it?
We're going to have to take it to theater, remove the fibroid, and lift the uterus up.
Okay, Irene, does that help you?
Yeah, because sometimes when I sneeze or something, but now it's better. I mean, after delivery, for some time until late last year, when I sneezed, a little bit of urine would come out.
Okay. Irene, I think you're going to have to listen on the phone, but we'll just hear what the doctor has to say. We literally have 30 seconds to say goodbye, okay. But you'll listen on the phone, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Mishak, any last final thoughts for Irene?
Yeah, last final thoughts for her is that I think she knows that the reason why the urine leaks is because the bladder muscle was weakened, and that would need to be strengthened with what we spoke about earlier on, either a PRP injection or laser. And She's somebody that I know for a long time, so we'll be able to deal with that.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mishik. I wanted to say long goodbyes, but I literally have 10 seconds. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's it from me. I'm back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on the home of the Afropolitan.